Back at it here, talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. It is time once again for Elephant in the Room, the show featuring the great work being done by the Republican Committee of Allegheny County, RCAC for short, Allegheny.gop on the web. And so nice to run it back and doing it twice. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Daryl, thank you so much. Sincerely appreciate it.
And introduce yourself once again for those who didn't get the opportunity to tune in last week. And introduce, of course, our good friend who you brought in back with you once again.
Absolutely. My name is Bob Krankovic. I'm from McCandless Township, or McCandless, as it were. Young Republican who's been roughly in the, dare I say, in the political game since roughly about 2016, whenever our 47th president, then 45th president, now 47th president, Donald J. Trump, decided to run for office. So I'm here with my great friend and my esteemed colleague, Mr. Luke Bruno. And he is a small business owner. And like I said, he did quite a bit, especially during COVID time. Whenever everybody was closing down, when all the masks were being put on, there was one guy that said, "Heck no, I'm not doing that." And his name is Luke Bruno. And I'm going to turn it over to him.
Well, thank you, Bob, for that great introduction. Thank you, Daryl, for having us back again. So my name's Luke Bruno. I'm a small business owner. I own Fitness Works in Allison Park. Been in the political games as well since 2016. Been a Republican my entire life and really have been getting a little more into it over the last 8 to 10 years. So, yeah, that's what I have for you right now. So thank you, guys.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so of course there was a lot of, after our last Saturday taping, as it were, they had quite a bit of fireworks happen. I mean, we had the infamous Zelensky kind of blow up, blow out, whatever you want to call it. You then had the joint session of Congress, so we had quite a bit to go over here. With regards to that, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Luke. You know, it seemed to me that there was not only a miscommunication whenever the event at the White House happened, but it seemingly looked like a petulant little child. Is that a fair assessment, or what's your opinion on the matter?
Well, I don't know if there was a miscommunication. I'm pretty sure they probably had a pretty good meeting behind closed doors, mm-hmm. out of the media spotlight. And then, you know, Zelensky on his begging for money tour, as soon as he got the front of the cameras, I think he just went a completely different direction than they talked about, to try to get the president and vice president to be guilted into agreeing to whatever he wants.
Right. And it seemed to me, like I said, when you have a president that's actually showing leadership and putting everything out in the public sphere, I think that, and it's more transparent than the polar opposite that we did have, which was the, let's just give him everything that he wants and then let's just cater to him and fold like a cheap suit.
Oh, exactly. I mean, the previous administration and president, I mean, you just have them throwing money, a lot of empty threats towards Russia saying that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and they follow through with nothing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, President Trump immediately said, we want to end this war.
Right.
So I don't see what the big deal is with no more money, let's end it.
Right.
So why do they keep asking and wanting more and more money instead of ending the war? What's the catch here with this?
Exactly. Now, what my whole beef with Zelensky's previous statements was, oh, we only gave us $150 billion, and now I only have $50 billion. Like, I mean, what happened to the other $100 billion? I mean, is that a crazy question to ask? I mean, I don't think I'm too far out of bounds.
No, I think we need to have a full-on audit of all the money we gave and see where exactly it went, because there's $50 billion missing. It's not a small chunk of change.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, yeah, $50 billion is a lot of money. So, and I don't remember the actual figure right off the top of my head, but it was somewhere in that vicinity. It's not too far off. But yeah, I think that it's a combination of miscommunication with, and Zelensky was like kind of looking at his interpreter the entire time. So I'm giving him a little bit of an out with that. And I, to Vice President Vance's, a good thing that he decided to do was that he was like, hey, like, we're showing the American people here, we're doing this in front of your eyes, as opposed to, like you said, just speculating and doing everything backdoor, right? Dare I say, in private. So Yeah, so that was interesting. Another kind of interesting, well, I don't really understand, and of course, it seemed like he was asking for a lot. Is that crazy to say?
No, it's not crazy at all. I mean, he's been doing this for how long now?
Close to 3 years? True.
So I don't think it's much to say at all. I don't get why he just doesn't want the war to end.
Yeah.
I mean, you think in the last, and I loved how he dressed, by the way. Loved how he dressed. Acting like, you know, he's on the front lines. I mean, this is a guy who, a couple years ago, posed for Vanity Fair.
Mm-hmm.
What, Forbes he was on, mm-mm. Vogue. And then he tried to go to the Oscars 2 years ago and got denied.
So
it just shows you the misperception he's trying to give people.
Real stately guy. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think he's just asking for way too much.
Even President Trump commented as soon as he got out of the car, he's wearing something nice today. But I believe the gentleman was named Brian Glenn from Right Side Broadcasting. Said, don't you have a suit? And he clearly had a suit in, what was it, in whenever he met with Obama, I think in 18, if I have it correctly. Yeah, so, I mean, the man does have a suit, believe it or not. Not that typical olive drab sweater his getup he had on there.
Was it this year or last year? He just bought his wife a Bugatti for $1.7 million.
What?
I think. Might have been even more than that. So, I mean, I think he has a little bit of spare change to spend on a suit.
Yeah, exactly. There goes my tax dollars into a lovely Bugatti for a Mr. Volodymyr Zelensky, which you got to love that. That was pretty big. And as you say, the Ukrainians since backed away, and they were like, oh, no, now we want to make a deal all of a sudden. Because my understanding, if I have it correctly, I believe it was on X, they simply said, they were going to put him up for impeachment in his own country. So he decided to backpedal on it.
I believe right after the meeting at the White House, they immediately announced that they're going to have an article up for impeachment for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, the gravy train has to stop. The taxpayer can't foot all this. I'm sorry. There's no rhyme or reason to even have that.
Yeah.
I mean, for Pete's sakes. I mean, yeah, so that was good. We did have the joint session of Congress, which was quite interesting, to say the absolute least, with our lovely tolerant left there that decided not to applaud seemingly anything.
No. They just very unhappy group right now.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like they're kind of falling by the wayside and kind of jumping out of irrelevance. Is that a fair statement?
I think very fair statement. I think the one thing you've learned by watching that address is the left is so divided, and they are in shambles right now. They have no direction where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just trying for anything to stick.
Right. And I mean, if you can't. It's pretty bad when you can't applaud a brain cancer survivor. It's pretty bad when you can't applaud a police widow. And it's just bad all around. I just don't understand that.
No, I agree 100% with you on that. I think it's just, but just like we said on the previous podcast, it comes back to it's because of Trump. If this was Biden's address and he introduced them, they would be screaming from the rafters how amazing it is.
You're into the orange man bad people.
The orange man bad. But no, I think it shows a lack of disrespect. And you're not applauding Trump. You're applauding these people, these victims of these heinous acts of her husband getting shot, the police widow, and they didn't even applaud the prisoner exchange from coming back from Russia for how long.
Yeah, that was bad too. And then, Mark Hawk.
Yes, and then
the infamous butler gentleman.
And then of course the child idiot with the brain cancer.
Yeah,
how did that not bring a smile?
DJ,
to your face?
Oh, we love
how
DJ.
Did that not bring a smile to your face?
Oh my goodness, I mean, and I even seen him on other views. He goes, man, if you're making fun of Trump, I'll be on your bumper. I was like, where is it? Can I adopt this kid? I want to adopt him. Like if his dad doesn't want to, I will gladly adopt. Not to say that he doesn't, but yeah, seriously. But it's unbelievable.
So, yeah, a lot of things happening, of course, a lot of things happening with the speech and with the address to Congress and with the meeting with Vladimir Zelensky. Where do you see, you know, since we last spoke here last week, where do you see this heading in terms of how this affects what you guys do? I mean, the feet on the street that you guys have in Western Pennsylvania. Are you seeing things? Are you seeing things in your gym that are indicative of the mood change that's sweeping the country?
I mean, I think you're pretty much seeing the same thing over the last couple of weeks. Everyone's still very upbeat. They're very happy with the way everything's going. A lot of the people I know at the gym really liked the direction of the president's speech last week. So, you know, I think it's still very positive. I think everything's going in the right direction. I think they liked how he laid out and explained how things are going to be a little tough at first. So it kind of gives them ease that it will get better. So, yeah, everyone so far is still very upbeat and very positive with everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I couldn't believe seeing the speaking of polls. I mean, I saw the poll that was slightly after the speech, especially on our lovely CNN. They said something like 76% agreed with the speech. And that cut across party lines, too. So that was, you can't get 76% of people to agree on anything, let alone especially a joint session of Congress / State of the Union.
No, I agree. I think what you saw in that speech was he sat down and talked directly to the American people and talked directly to everyone in the room as well.
Yeah.
And which was nice. He wasn't dictating things. It was like sitting down, having a conversation, telling you, this is what we're doing. This is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I see going through the future. And it was nice to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was definitely good. That's for sure. And I did see something that came up relatively recently. The president decided to revoke the security clearance for some law firm, Perkins Coie. So, and I believe that they, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they might have been involved with the Clintons, if I have it correctly.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think something with the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons, absolutely.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, and another thing that kind of came up was, it seemingly is, we're having a little bit, I don't want to say a little bit of an issue with, but, you know, in my opinion, it seems like some of the decisions being handed, especially with regards to the Chevy Chase wing of the Supreme Court, i.e. Chief Justice Roberts and Amy Coney, or Justice Barrett, it seemingly has, we've been having issues with that, especially with regards to, Article 2 power. And that's not a good thing. I mean, my opinion, it's been coming a little bit of a head now. And I'm not exactly sure why that is the case, because, you know, you seemingly had these nominations go through and they were vetted candidates. So I'm not exactly sure. What was your opinion on some of the decisions that's been coming down?
You know what? I was a little surprised with some of them. As the same thing, everything has been vetted. And I don't know what their thought process is right now. Why are they making these decisions? Honestly, I'm a little baffled by it, Don.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that's come up in the news this week that has really been piqued some interest is, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, on Thursday, Donald Trump made some statements, not insinuating, but along the lines of maybe clarifying and re-clarifying to some skeptics the role that Elon Musk has in Doge, specifically that, reaffirming that Trump did, that the agencies are the ones who actually have the say when it comes to which employees are being let go, of course, under the umbrella of the overall need to reduce the federal workforce. And reassuring that, yes, Elon Musk is saying what he's saying and doing what he's doing and doing the thing with the chainsaw and CPAC. But it is, in fact, falling on the agencies themselves to, I think Trump used the analogy, cut with a scalpel and not a hatchet, these departments. What do you guys think of that sort of initiative, that clarification, and maybe how you feel about how Elon Musk is doing with Doge?
Luke, did you want to take it?
I mean, I think he's doing a great job with Doge. I mean, so he's was brought in as like an outside independent contractor, just like most companies and businesses do, to mainstream and streamline all the finances and find where the wasteful spending and the fat is. But at the end of the day, President Trump wanted to make it clear that he doesn't make the final decision, Musk doesn't, it goes to the departments, and ultimately the president has the final decision on what gets cut. So I think he wanted to clarify that more, because you have so many people saying it's Musk doing all the cutting and he's in charge, and he just wanted to clarify how the process works.
Right, right. And I don't think Musk is getting held out to dry. I think that it's like, hey, if you see something or something's blaring out to you, like, hey, take it out.
Yes.
And like, for example, the Social Security people get that are 150 years old. I want to know what they're on to get to 150 years old. But I mean, seriously, if you have these things that are blaring and obvious, cut it.
Yes.
And if it's not blaring and obvious, that's where you're going to have a little bit of an issue. But yeah, I'm very much happy with the cuts. And I think that I actually want that to get codified. And unfortunately, it's not going to happen during this CR, but you know, whenever they come back down to reconciliation again, I want those in there.
Yes.
And that definitely should be accounted for, because I personally think, my opinion, not of RCAC or anybody else associated with, you know, they're running into trouble here a little bit, and and I'm not sure who was leading the team and who was leading all that, but it's seemingly they're running into issues, and that's troubling.
I agree.
But I know that you wanted to, you had some issues with regards to the Democratic Party is what you wanted to mention. I know that we might have ran over it here a little bit, but go back.
Where do you want me to start?
Go right ahead. Hey, I want Luke to be Luke. That's what I want.
I mean, I had such an issue with the way the Democratic Party reacted and acted during the joint session address
mm-hmm.
on Tuesday night. First of all, I didn't get why all the women were wearing pink.
Mm.
I knew they were doing it to support women's, you know, women's rights and support every empowering women, but coming from the same people that voted against the bill to keep men out of women's sports.
Mm, yeah, ain't that the truth? Yeah.
So that right there just got me, and, you know, Al Green stepping up and shouting.
Yes. Yes.
Medicare, which that was just uncalled for.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you realize this too, this was the first time, I think maybe ever, that when the president walked in, that they didn't have a representative of a head from the Democratic Party walk him down.
I did not know that. Okay. Okay. And
so usually there's one on each side, a Republican.
So there is one on each side.
There is one on each side, yeah. And this was the first time.
And that's how it should be. There's unity.
Exactly. And they were not showing any unity whatsoever.
Unbelievable.
Even if you don't like the man.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, come on, this is for your country.
Right. Right. And it comes back to what exactly does the Democratic Party stand for? You know, if they're standing for all kinds of stuff, a hodgepodge of kind of random stuff, it's seemingly not working for them. And I don't understand why they're not to say that I want them to change strategy. You're making it easy for me, especially whenever I go out and door knock and I'm like, hey, check out this candidate. And they're like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, that was bad. Quite frankly, I heard this the other day that our lovely DJ was actually from Al Green's district, believe it or not.
I heard that too.
And I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, well, makes sense. Makes sense, considering. But
I think in my opinion, what you're seeing more from the Democratic Party is honestly more of an America last opposed to an America first.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing they cheered for was when they talked about potentially giving more money to Ukraine. That was it.
Is that right?
That was it.
Yeah. And like, I didn't even catch that.
Oh, yeah.
When
they talked about, when Trump made a comment about, you know, they want more money sent there, was the only time I heard an applause.
No kidding. Okay. And it was weird to actually see, as you see, you saw three quarters of the chamber being, you know, seemingly getting up for everything. And then you had one quarter that didn't get up for anything. Even, like you said, even to the walk through, as it were. I mean, that's bonkers. Yeah, I know that you were, and quite frankly, I was a little bit, I don't want to say disturbed, but I'm saying it's kind of, the writing on the wall is that I think Governor Newsom appears like he's going to be the candidate or trying to be the front runner for the party. Is that a fair assessment?
It's very fair assessment. It's looking like Newsom's kind of backtracking a little bit, becoming a little more to the middle now, not as far left as he has been over the last, 10 years of his whole career, if not longer.
Yeah, something like
that.
So
maybe he's either starting to get it a little bit, or he's just playing politics.
Or he's seeing the writing on the wall.
Exactly.
Which is probably something. It's probably a little bit of a hodgepodge of everything. But I did want to also mention here our good friend Chuck Davis. We have that election coming up. I believe it's March 13th, if I have it correctly. But yeah. Chuck Davis in the Mon Valley there. Get out and vote for him. great guy, White Oak resident, and first responder, especially 22 years on the as being a first responder is quite significant.
It is.
And not only that, it just goes to show you love for a community.
Exactly.
For sure. I'd also like to take the opportunity to thank John Schneider, Jason Ritchie, and everybody else at the RCAC team for letting us guest host yet again.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe as we head into a break here, we could talk about some other things at the second half. One thing I'm very curious about in terms of both of you, of course, you're both local residents, you're both on the younger side of the ledger. Talk about, and this might be a little thought exercise I'm curious about, maybe and maybe as you guys talk about this, maybe people listening to us, wherever they're listening from, and thank you, by the way, for listening to Elephant in the Room, here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS, talk about, and you can think about this during the break, how you guys came to be Republicans, how you guys came to be conservative. What is it about the ideals of conservatism that spoke to both of you and enabled you to follow that path? Because, you know, as you grow and as you know people, of course, it might be your upbringing, it might be people you meet along the way. You know, it's a path. It's absolutely a path. It's a journey to get to where you are in terms of where your mindset is and how you got there in terms of all different things. Is that, something fun we can dive into next segment?
Absolutely. We could let that stew, but we'll get right to it.
Absolutely. Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS. This is the Elephant in the Room back here with Bob and Luke, coming right back after this here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS. By the way, Allegheny.gop for more information on the great, tireless work. You heard Bob give him a shout out. Jason Ritchie, John Schneider, and the rest of the team, the rest of the staff, everybody. I mean, the tentacles are so far and wide in terms of bringing energy to the Republican Party and what they've been able to do here in the region to really to spread the word and boost the signal and all the hard, tireless work that John, Jason, and the rest of the staff are doing. And of course, a shout out to Sam DeMarco, our good buddy, all of us.
Absolutely.
As we wish him well in the Dave McCormick campaign. So more to come right here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Stay close. Back at it here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Elephant in the Room. The weekly show presented in conjunction with the great folks at the RCAC Republican Committee of Allegheny County, Jason Ritchie, John Schneider, and the many, many folks that put in the work to make that the beacon for all things Republican here in the county, putting in the work to make sure that the best people are put in the best places to fulfill the mission of the Republican Party here in Allegheny County, here with two great guys, my buddies, Bob and Luke, in the house today. And as we talked about during the break, of course, you're Republicans. You're both conservative Republicans, stalwarts of the young Republican movement here in Western Pennsylvania. Curious as to how you became, how you got on that path. As you grow and develop and, you know, make your way in the world that we live in, how you got to the path, what was it about conservatism? What was it about the Republican Party that spoke to either of you? Jump on this one.
Absolutely. What spoke to me about the party was that it goes back to the traditional Judeo-Christian ethos in which this country was formed, where it goes back to, I was honored to have a fantastic mother and a good father. That's practically, and that's the traditional value set is kind of ideal, especially with regards to this party. And as the president is trying to, I'm not trying to say remanufacture the party into, but not only it's a party of logic, but it's also a party of common sense. Whereas, you know, for example, you can take practically any example with regards to traditional values. And that's what spoke out to me in that regard.
All right, Luke?
I mean, I grew up in the middle of the city in a very heavily Democratic area. And I believe the first time I went to vote, they told us out of the 13,000 residents, there was only 4 registered Republicans. And 3 were in my house, my brother, my mother, and me. But I think, just like you said, I've always been a Republican, and it just came down to a value system. And I think the longer time's gone on and more times went past, you're seeing the left more away from common sense and values and shifting their values to other things, to where the right is keeping that old school value system. And, you know, that's pretty much what keeps me there and what I like about it.
I have to confess, Daryl, that I actually am a former Democrat, believe it or not. And I've
Well, how'd that transition happen?
Whenever that's a great question. Whenever I was in at Duquesne and roughly around 2008, that was actually I think that's when it started. That's when I started to change, because I did vote for Obama in 08, believe it or not. And everybody's like, everybody's booing the place. Oh, I can't believe Krankovic was a former Democrat. Yeah, I was. I was. But I, you know, I could see the light. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. So, yeah, I was in a different space in my life. And not only that, I can't believe that I missed out on this. And it did happen twice. The former Justice Antonin Scalia actually went to Duquesne roughly about two or three times when I was there in 2008. So I believe if I have it correctly, that was practically open to everybody. So I could have went, even though I was a business school student. But yeah, it's been quite a transition. And you needed a fire-breathing populist like President Trump to kind of shake me into the right direction, as it were.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff there. So you had a couple other things you were talking about or looking at during the break that you're going to touch on, were you not?
Yes, absolutely. I didn't know that. Well, I should say this came across the wire roughly early this morning. The jobs report came out, and I don't think correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, did anybody in mainstream media actually mention that there were 9,000 auto manufacturing jobs that were created?
No. All we heard in the media was the 7,000 minus jobs from the government. But but of course, they didn't announce that the manufacturing jobs are up 10,000. Auto worker jobs are up 9.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, it's not doing too bad. And that's not counting the jobs that were lost to the government. Were they people taking the buyout, the retirement?
Right.
So it's not as hectic and as bad as they're leading on.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, if they have a little bit of pain, they'll consider it a dumpster fire. If you give them an inch, they'll take 10 feet, you know, absolutely. That sort of stuff. You know, and especially with regards to how they even, well, let's put it this way. I don't believe that the president will go out, or excuse me, whenever they do these jobs reports, I don't think they'll be revised down as many odd times that they were with regards to the former admin. Because it seems like every quarter there would be the tape would come across. I'd be like, oh, yeah, we made 20,000 jobs. Oh, we're going to then reduce those numbers and then say, oh, no, we only added 5 or something like that. So that you have a net 15 loss there. And I mean, are we talking funny math here?
I think we're talking real funny math. I don't think we ever got an accurate account of like how many jobs were created, how many jobs were lost. I think they just kind of went by what they felt like at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
The polling numbers they needed.
Yeah, exactly. Or how bad is Biden doing in the polls? Oh, let's juice it up here 3,000 and let's and then take it down 5. And I mean, you have a net negative 2. But I mean, it's just bonkers how they go about doing this. I mean, it's just nuts. It always was seeming to me, it was always revision down, revision down, revision down. Whereas in the former, the 45 administration, you had actually had revisions upward after the fact. So you actually had quite a bit more to the plus side than you did to the negative side.
Absolutely. You always saw that, you know, we created 50,000 jobs and are like, well, we have to retract that. It was actually 65,000. It was always something more once the numbers are actually fully in at the end.
Yeah. You always had a plus number, especially in the 45 admin, and hopefully here in the near term soon too. You all also had Secretary Bessent kind of mentioning today that it was like or thereabouts where he's like, hey, we might have a little bit of pain, but it's gonna be free flowing after that. He said something along the line, and I'm trying to lay my hands on it here, but so said it pretty bluntly, we're quote unquote hooked on federal spending and there will be a need to detox in order as we transition here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like any business. You're going to have your ups and downs when you're going through transition in a new administration. I mean, I did see that, I guess, reported the DOGE saved around $170 billion dollars right now.
Okay.
That they're finding. So, I mean,
that's good.
That's very good.
That's good. And I saw the other day, well, I mean, $100 billion is pretty good. And I believe it was Captain Parnell, who is now he's the spokesperson for the DOD. Big fan here. And it's shocking that the DOGE cuts only came in to like $80 million, I think, was the number that I got heard and got kicked around. But, you know, hopefully the DOGE team actually goes at it pretty strong.
Yes.
Because I think that the big number is the defense number.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and coming back to the act of the joint session, I think that the big line, especially the line of the night for me, was that, hey, we just needed a new president in order to get these illegal numbers down. Did you see the actual number?
No, I didn't see
that. It went from, I believe the peak Biden was 600K, and now it went down to like 1,300.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I did see the percentage that it is down 98% crossing since President Trump has been in office.
It's unbelievable.
I did see that.
It's legitimately unbelievable. Yeah, and I'm not sure. Well, this kind of tails back to the Newsom. Apparently, he did an event with Charlie Kirk, or he did an interview with Charlie Kirk.
I did see some of that. He actually came out looking like a likable person in the interview.
Yeah.
I saw some of it. I'm not a huge fan of him.
Right.
But he seemed a little more normal.
Yeah.
Than usual arrogant Gavin.
Yeah. And yeah, it's seeming to me that he's seemingly positioning or angling his area here for a run here, which it looks like it very well could happen. Because like you said, they're in complete disarray.
Yes.
And I don't even think, you know, we're trying to hit on it a little bit here, but I don't even think that they realize how bad it is.
No, I think they think everything's great and they're going to keep on doing their same.
We hate Orange Man and Orange Man bad. And
I don't know if you've seen any of the memes they've been putting out there with the... go on TikTok and watch these. I can't even explain.
Do you have TikTok? You actually use it?
I don't actually use it.
Okay, I don't either.
I should for my business, but I really don't. But I've been seeing them on the news and posting. I mean, they're just absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. And they're like all dancing. They think they're superheroes.
Pick a fighter superhero.
Yeah.
It is just so bad.
Pick a fight, and you have the Jasmine Crockett. You have these other kind of, dare I say, lightweights in the party here that are trying to play it off as if they're big and tough. But it's funny. It's actually funny to watch. I did see that there is, they said there's quite a bit of seats coming up here with regards to the, I don't want to get it too far ahead of my skis here a little bit, but, you know, Politico put out a piece yesterday that was talking about all the vulnerable Democratic seats. And I see California seats. I see New York seats. I see some in Ohio and some in, I see Virginia with Eugene Vindman. I mean, and some of these are heavily Hispanic areas, especially south, closer towards the border there. And it's going to be interesting. So we're going to, I think that we're, as crazy as this is, I think we're going to be playing offense as opposed to defense.
I agree with you, Bob. In my opinion, I think you're starting to see, especially with the last election, a lot of these heavily favored areas that used to be blue are starting to transition over more.
Mm.
And you're starting to see a little more and a lot more red. And I think by the time the elections come around in, 2 years, that you might see a bunch flip.
Yeah, I'm very much
I'm
hopeful.
Actually very, very sure you're going to see a few flip.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely the Texas ones. I think that's a
I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a California one go.
Yeah, I believe it or not, I got five names here. Let's see. Josh Harder, California, Adam Gray, George Whitesides. I'm not sure exactly what district they're in or what area they serve, I should say. Heck, you even have a Democrat in Indiana? I'm shocked to see that. Frank Mervin? It sounds like a politician, too. But, yeah, so you have the seats that are definitely up, which were seats that Trump carried in 24, too, which is definitely going to be interesting. Oh, speaking of mayor, we're going to talk about illegal immigration. I just saw, and it's a Quinnipiac poll here dated March 5 this year that says, and I can't believe his approval rating drops to an all-time low of 20%. Can you believe that? I mean, that's unbelievable.
That is very...
Said, voters who were asked about Mayor Adams' handling of crime, 30% approved, 57% disapproved. 13% did not have an opinion. The city budget, 21% approved, 58% disapproved, and 21% did not have an opinion.
Yeah, that's a lot of disapproval. That's a big margin.
That's all. That's kind of. It's not. I like wonder a 50, if it's some, Ed Gainey some. Numbers. That's how bad it is.
I'm sure Gainey's numbers are a lot worse than that.
Do you think so?
The actual numbers.
Yeah. I mean, piggybacking on that a little bit. I mean, it baffles my mind how, and they were talking about how, they have Republican donors for Corey O'Connor, which I actually don't believe either. But I think he's going to have a tough reelect. Is that a fair statement?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Andy's going to have a very tough re-elect.
Yeah. Do you think that they're going to try to put up, or better yet, how moderate do you think that Corey O'Connor will go in order to win over the quote-unquote rest of the former Democratic base here?
In my opinion, I think he needs to go right down the middle 50-50.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe even go a little bit more to the right, just a little bit, like 50, 55, 45. But I think he's going to have to go over a little bit to the right.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you're starting to see a lot of people, especially people our age and a little older people, just not really connecting with
anything
that's going on in the last
not only months. Anything that they're saying, but also I don't want to make it all an Ed Gainey and Corey O'Connor, you know, bash fest, but you know, it comes back to policy. If you're going to have these illegals come in and be a sanctuary city, well, then you have to go out and defend it to the voters.
Exactly. And they can't.
Exactly. And if you want to make it, what is it, a more walkable city, and you want to put in bike lanes and every other kind of lane you can think of, which is actually worse for the environment, by the way. The New York City had studies with regards to that. Take out of something as easy as right on reds, pardon me. Ironically enough. But you know, if you keep doing that and you have these policies which you have to defend them. You have to defend him, and I'm not exactly sure how he goes about doing that.
I think what you're seeing with Gainey, and just like what you see with our lovely, great county commissioner. she's very lovely and great. You see that they don't know how to govern, mm-hmm. or they don't know how to, gosh, quite frankly, do anything effective.
Or, yeah, and I've been...
Let's throw money at a problem and hope and...
Yeah,
I hope it works out when, you know, nothing has been efficient since either one of them has been in office.
Exactly.
And it's not going to change.
And not only that, to your point, like you said, if you throw money at it, that's not necessarily going to guarantee that the problem is going to get fixed. So, for example, let's take education. Coming back to federal a little bit, you know, I believe that they're going to probably either end up cutting or probably close to cutting the Department of Education. If you think about it. In the 80s, right before the Carter administration came in, we were number one in education.
Number one.
And then they decided, oh, let's throw a bunch of money at it, and, you know, that'll fix the problem.
And now we're dead last.
And exactly right.
So I think the Department of Education is, in my opinion, an absolute waste.
Yeah.
And I think we should just get rid of it completely, give all the power back to the states, have, of course, like a little oversight just to make sure it gets distributed equally according to what your needs are, and then let the states handle it. Give the teachers more power to actually teach the kids what they need.
You want teacher freedom.
I want teacher freedom.
I like it.
I want the parents to be able to have a say-so in what their kids learn,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately have the say-so of what they want their kids taught.
Yeah.
I think it's how it should be.
Exactly. Or better yet, the teachers should put out a map and say, we're going to cover this, we're going to cover this, we're going to cover this. And if you don't like it, or you don't like Johnny to go hear that, you should be able to opt out. Like anything, you should be able to opt out of it.
I agree.
Is that way out of bounds there?
No, I don't think. I think it's common sense, Bob.
There you go. There you go. That's true. That's true. Well said. Yeah, turning back to our lovely county executive, she came out the other day, and correct me if I'm wrong, do they have 8 or 9 or 10 schools on the chopping block here for the city? But then again, we pay more taxes, of course.
I want to say I think we have at least 8.
At least 8.
I think we have at least 8.
That's the number that I remember seeing that map, and I didn't get a head count.
It probably was 8 to start, and now we're probably at like 10.
Right.
By the end of it, you're probably going to see like 15.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done.
Well, and that's another thing, too. This is basic mismanagement. This is like how to mismanage a county 101.
Well, I mean, it's typical Allegheny County politics management. I mean, as well as I'm fully involved with a lot of the Allegheny County things and the ins and outs of it. And did you know the last time the budget was balanced or we had a surplus at anything was when Roddy was county executive?
The former Jim Roddy, okay.
And we had a Republican in.
No kidding.
That was the very last time.
And yeah.
Ever since then, it seems like, especially in this administration, this county executive, every person she has in charge of certain areas, whether if it's, you know, the park system, the maintenance system, neither one of them deserve to have that position.
Right.
They're not qualified for the job. And it seems like they're just putting people in who will just say yes to whatever they want with no management skills whatsoever. So I mean, it's an absolutely crap show.
They're putting in yes, ma'am,
yes,
people.
Yes, ma'am.
Unbelievable. And but that's not how that should be.
No.
Instead of having, you not only have, you have to have EP people, but you also have people that can do the job and are qualified for the job, not just because they happen to check off a box.
I mean, look at me. I'm very good at business. I am horrible at math. So why have you?
You're a good man.
You do a lot of my accounting. You're a great man.
I appreciate
so,
that.
So, like, you have to be able to delegate what you can do and then what you can't do to people who are much better at it than you.
Or to come back to you quite a bit, we have strengths and then we have non-strengths or weaknesses, for lack of a better term.
So we got a few minutes left to go here, and talk about where you see everything heading. I mean, we see, of course, nationally, it seems like there's a lot of momentum on the side of the Republican Party. Locally, incrementally, you know, they're still, as you mentioned, between city leadership, county leadership, the stuff that Jason and John and the rest of the RCAC staff are working night and day to overcome. Where do you see everything heading? Where do you see everything as we move forward here into further into 2025 and beyond?
You know, I think you're going to have a very upswing in the Republican Party. I think you are going to see, like I said, in the next election, a lot of places that were once blue are now going to go red.
Sure.
I think you're just going to see a much more positive atmosphere in, as far as the nation goes, the city and the county. And of course, you're going to have your little downswing every once in a while, which you do when you have growing pains like this. But I think in the long run, you're going to have nothing but positivity.
I very much agree with that. And not only that, I know that my opinions are not that of necessarily of RCAC or of anybody associated with, but my opinion is that I think that we have to not only get this clean CR taken care of, you have to then get out and renew the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And quite frankly, if the Speaker Johnson has to go kick down some doors, he's got to go kick down some doors and put the foot to it. He can't be sitting around. And I surely hope that that's not the case. I gladly hope that I'm wrong. But I need to see a little bit more effort with regards to that. With regards to locally, I think it's definitely going to be interesting. Obviously, we're hoping for Chuck here, and we're going to get out and vote for him, Chuck Davis. And it should definitely be interesting. I was pleasantly shocked, and I shouldn't say shocked, but we gladly got rid of an incumbent, a former Mr. Bob Casey, and we got him out of there. We got our good friend Dave McCormick there, and we're very thankful for that. So hopefully, like the president keeps saying, big tent, more people, and we actually have quite a diverse crowd of not only thought but opportunity too.
As we wrap things up here, one final chance to let the people know where they can find you and Luke and more information about the gym.
Well, like I said, my name's Luke Bruno. I own Fitness Works in Allison Park, spelled WERQS. You can find all information about us on our website and our social media pages. And just give us a call. You can book a tour, come in and sit down and have a chat with me.
And my name is Bob Krankovic. Bob_CRANKOV, like victory, I say. So hopefully we'll have quite a bit of that come November.
Ooh, I like what you did there. All good. Talk to Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Again, RCAC, Republican Committee of Allegheny County, allegheny.gop for more information on the great work they do and ways that you can get involved as well. And as we look forward to more episodes of Elephant in the Room here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS, we bid you adieu on this one, and we'll see you right back here in 7 days. Take care.